So last week I posted a video on YouTube, and when I was going through the comments, as I usually do, and I talk about the three beliefs, and somebody said, in Buddhism, the Buddha says that there are three poisons, which are ignorance of our true nature, attachment, and aversion or resistance. And since the three beliefs came through, what, 7 years ago or something like that, I've never cease to be amazed at all the connections that I find with the three beliefs. And for example, flight, fight, and freeze, that connection was made relatively shortly after the three beliefs were identified. And then after that was the connection to the first three chakras and the three emotions, sadness, anger, fear, root, sacral, solar plexus. But when I read this comment, my eyes kind of popped open because I instantly saw the connection of the three beliefs to the Buddha's three poisons. And I thought this would offer a lot of great insight into the three beliefs, why they're so crucial to our transcendence of ego consciousness or third density consciousness. And really there's kind of a cool aspect going on when you look at these two modalities, the three poisons and the three beliefs. Because when the Buddha was explaining the three poisons that cause suffering, the Buddha was essentially showing us the level of effect, or the way that these three poisons act themselves out through us, the way we act out these three poisons. Ignorance, we act it out through ignorance of our true nature, going around the world, living, believing, and acting as a separate self. Secondly, we show the beliefs through attachment, and then thirdly, through resistance. So the three beliefs are the level of cause to the three effects of the three poisons, right? And I want to show you cause and effect and how these two things connect. So when I teach about the law of cause and effect, that I will often say that cause and effect are one. And so that means that whenever we're working with an effect, it will lead us to the cause. And we can also make change on the level of cause. If we're truly working on either level, the other will mirror the corrections or the reorientations that are being made. So the cause of the three effects are the three beliefs. And with that being said, we can look at these three beliefs: the belief in lack, the belief in external fulfillment, and the belief in control or personal doership as the three poisons. So number one, ignorance of our true nature. Now, why can't we see our true nature, or why are we ignorant of our true nature? The ignorance is the verb, right? The doing of it. But what's the cause of ignorance? We know that all causes in the mind must originate with a belief, a subconscious, unseen belief. So what causes ignorance of our true nature? The belief in lack. The belief that I am inadequate, I am incomplete, I am insufficient. The belief in lack is really just another way of saying the belief in separation, but it's almost as if separation is just one step prior to lack. But really they're the same belief, right? If I believe I am separate from my source, that is the equivalent of saying I am lacking my source. Can you see that? So the belief in lack is the belief in separation, but lack again really shows up as an effect in the way we think, perceive, relate, and behave in the world. So the cause of ignorance of our true nature is the belief that we are lacking our true nature or separate from it. We are fundamentally incomplete in some way, right? So because we first believed we are separate or lacking, we are ignorant now of our true nature. And this is like, you know, very common sense to connect these two things, but I want to make sure that this isn't overlooked as like, yeah, I know that already. Now, I really want you to see this. I really want you to connect with what I'm trying to show you here. As long as this belief in my insufficiency is in place and it goes uninvestigated, then I will always be ignorant of my true nature, because one causes the other, cause and effect. So it's like you can't see the sunset if you're facing east, because the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. So you have to turn west to see the sunset. In the same way, you cannot see your true nature if you believe you are lacking or incomplete in any way at all. Yeah, so that's what causes ignorance of our true nature. We walk around the universe like wearing a blindfold. Everything I see is myself pushed out, and yet I'm unaware of it. Just like Jesus said to his disciples, right? The kingdom of heaven is already spread out all over the earth, but men are unaware of it. So it's like, stop asking me when it's going to come. Stop asking me when I'm going to establish the kingdom. It's already here, guys. You're the ones who can't see it. Jesus tells the parable of those who passed the leper, the beggar, the poor person. They passed them by and did not help them. Jesus tells this analogy when they come to the king, say, please let us in. And the king says to them, away from me, you who practice wickedness. For when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me a drink, etc., etc. So he's calling them out for their belief in separation, for their blindness. But then likewise, he turns to those on his right and he says, an amazing statement, come the blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. So what is Jesus trying to communicate with that statement? This is very much an ancient world way of saying, come and inherit the state of consciousness that has been available to you for all time, right? The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, it's not a place or a condition out there. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So that's the closest language he probably had available for saying consciousness. Heaven is a state of consciousness. You access it in here, not out there. So kingdom was Jesus's, you know, phrase or pointer for state of consciousness. And so likewise, before the foundation of the world means for all time immemorial. Because in the ancient world, they didn't have the same understanding probably of stars, galaxies, the expanding universe, Big Bang after Big Bang. To common people, the world was all they knew of reality. And so the farthest back they could conceive would be the beginning of the world. Even though we know our planet is just a small blip in the grand scheme, the timeline of the universe, the cosmos. To them, the world was the universe, right? So for Jesus to say, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world, before even the foundation of the world. So he's emphasizing as far back as you can conceive, aka forever. So to those who saw oneness, to those who saw source in everything, who saw God in everything, Jesus says, come and inherit the heavenly state of consciousness prepared for you for all time. That has always existed. Now you can inherit it because you see oneness. So Jesus is showing us oneness is the key to the kingdom of heaven. Oneness unlocks the gates, the pearly gates to heaven. So when I correct the first belief, the belief in lack, ignorance of my true nature, what's the mantra we give in Master Your Mind? Only what I have not given can ever be lacking. So see how this is dealing with the problem at the level of cause. Meaning, only what I do not give is implying I am the source. And there it is. I am source. If only what you don't give can ever be lacking, you're the source. You're the source, baby. No arguments about it, right? So only what I do not give can ever be lacking reorients your mind back to the true identity of the self, the source in you, the God self. And so you see by doing this, just quick remembrance, quick reframe, when you notice lack operating through your mind, you just reframe it back to, oh, that's right, I'm source. So what am I not giving? Which is why I feel I'm lacking something. I'm lacking love. I'm lacking purpose. I'm lacking fulfillment. I'm lacking joy. I'm lacking peace. Where am I not giving those things? When we do that, we have remembered the truth of our real nature. So we've solved the problem of ignorance, right? We've gone from self-ignorance, I'm lacking, I'm separate from my source, I'm not enough. And we've gone back to self-knowledge. Only what I don't give can be lacking because I'm the source of it. Therein lies the correction to the belief in lack. Remember who you are. And that solves the problem of self-ignorance, the first poison. Then we look at attachment, which I often will summarize the second belief as attachment, because attachment is the effect. It's what happens once I believe the second belief. But, you know, cause and effect are one, and they're so immediate that as soon as the belief is there, the effect is there. So they're really one and the same. But if we want to really get specific, which I always find helpful, we go to the belief that causes attachment. What is that? And I'll summarize it as the belief in external fulfillment, or sometimes I'll just say outcome happiness, right? Can you see the causal relationship there? That if you do believe that an object or a future outcome actually has happiness for you, then you have to attach to it. You have to chase after it. You don't have an option at that point. So you can't feel, there's no use in feeling guilty for attachments, because there's nothing you can do about it. If you notice you're attached, long before that you already believed that something outside of you can fulfill you. So we give the truth correction to the second belief. And the one I like to use is, this outcome cannot give me anything I want. Why? Because I don't want external fulfillment. I want internal fulfillment. So if what I really want is internal fulfillment, self-knowledge, self-love, then this outcome can't give me anything I want, because there can't be inner fulfillment in an external thing. They're opposites, right? They're polarities. So you're either in one or the other. You're either trapped in the external or you're in the internal, the I am. So nothing outside of you can fulfill you. So to remind yourself of that, when you notice there's an attachment to an outcome on the pedestal, you say, ah, hold on. This outcome cannot give me anything I want. There is no external fulfillment in the world of form. What do I really want? Internal fulfillment. I want peace of mind. I want a happy state of being. I want to be loved and feel loved and give love. That's what I really want. And every object I chase after is just like a symbol of my desire. But the real desire is internal fulfillment. The mind can only project what it desires out onto the world. And then we chase the symbols of our desire. So this outcome cannot give me anything I want takes me back to the causal level of the belief in external fulfillment and reminds me that what I really want is internal fulfillment. And I promise you, if you connect to that, and if you realize that's true, you will feel an immediate release of the tension of the attachment you're holding. And that doesn't mean the attachment won't still come back and try its old tricks on you. It definitely will. You have to exhaust all of it from energy, but now you have the only tool you need in your arsenal to deal with that problem. And that is to remember, this outcome can't give me what I want. It's incredibly depolarizing for the ego when the ego places a desire in your face and goes, huh? Yeah? You want it? You want it? Come and get it. And you go, ah, that can't give me anything I desire. Ego's like, oh, wah, wah, wah. And it goes running back to hide again and come up with a new attachment and try its next trick. But all the energy that ego uses against you that isn't accepted is lost. That's how we gradually drain the ego of energy in the mind. Because remember, ego's not an entity. We're not killing something. We're not fighting against something. We're just depolarizing a mental pattern that has a lot of mental inertia, mental energy behind it. And it's the mental activity of identifying and attaching and resisting. Yeah? So that's the second belief. Third belief, I am in control. I am the doer. The Buddha said the third poison is aversion or resistance. So sometimes when I teach the three beliefs, I'll use the word resistance as a synonym for the word control, because really the way that control shows up, I believe that I can control life, it almost always shows up as resistance, right? The ego is very manipulative and it will socially manipulate people, and that happens as well. But if we had like an XY chart or something you could graph to see how often the ego is resistant towards life, it would be like 90% of its control is spent resisting life. And so why does the mind believe that it can resist the present moment? That's the question we have to start with. Well, consider, as I always use the example, someone having an anxiety attack. We would say that someone who's having an anxiety attack, we would say that their mind is in resistance to something, right? Someone in a panic attack, their mind is very resistant towards an idea, a thought, something happening about their environment that makes them feel like they're losing control, and they're trying to grip onto that little bit of control they think that they still have. But yet, that's still the level of effect, isn't it? Because before you can resist, you must first believe you're the doer, right? So the belief in control or personal doership is actually prior to resistance. It's the cause of resistance to believe that you're the doer. You would only resist the present moment if you believed that you had the actual ability to do so, meaning that your resistance will produce favorable results. Otherwise, it would be a futile endeavor, right? If you had absolute conviction, I cannot change or manipulate reality from the way it's arising in this moment, it's a futile endeavor. It's a banging my head against the wall. It only hurts me, and it does not produce any favorable results ever. It fails 100% of the time. It always compounds the problem, and it never alleviates the problem. If you had that conviction about resistance or control over life, it would never even arise in your mind as an idea to resist. Meaning, the second something seemingly negative happens, you just go right to work addressing the problem. You don't spend a single moment saying to yourself, oh no, or oh, why does this have to be happening? You would have no such thoughts, right? Because you have no belief that you're the doer or the controller. You're just like the witness of life. And so whatever life does, you just want to be in a loving relationship to life. And so you just respond as love guides you to respond. You know, someone gets hit by a car, you don't go, oh goodness me, did you see that? Oh, that poor person. And you're standing on the side of the street, suffering over what you just saw, feeling traumatized. That's not being in loving relationship to the person who just got hit by the car. So instead, you wouldn't waste any time doing that. You would rush to go help the person without a second thought. That's what happens when we know we're not the doer. Life is just a constant call to action, a constant call to attention. So control or doership is prior to resistance. Can you see that? So what do we say to correct the third belief? Now I have a fun little update for you, an extra little gem for today. As you know, I'm writing the book on the three beliefs, and as I was writing this chapter, this amazing new kind of truth affirmation or mantra came through for the third belief that I just went, wow, that might be even better than the previous one. And I started using it and feeling like, wow, this does feel like an even more effective mantra for me to go to when I notice personal doership or control showing up. And so the mantra is, two powers do not exist. I am resting in one power. Two powers do not exist. I am resting in one power. There's no separate second doer in the universe. There's just one doer, God, the all doer, and I am resting in that power. I don't need to do anything because that power itself does everything. And that's the true recognition, isn't it? So that takes us back again to the causal level, doesn't it? Why am I resisting? Why am I averse to things that happen in life? Because I think that I'm the doer and I'm in control. Oh yeah, that's right. Two powers don't exist. I'm resting in one power. And then there's just that open-hearted trust of, okay, life, whatever's happening right now is for my benefit and for my good. So please just show me how to be in loving relationship to this moment. What does love want to do through me? That's your response when doership is wiped out of the equation. So So there's some practical Buddhism for you today.